Romans chapter 10, verse 16 is where we begin. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 16, Romans 10, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Some first century Jews recognized that Jesus is the Savior and repented, but not all of them. In fact, not even most of them. And really nothing has changed today. Most who hear about Jesus do not care and won't be saved. But God still wants them to be told because it's right to tell them, and some will accept it. 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No one gets saved unless they hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, faith has to be based on the Bible, or it's not faith. If God has not said it, if God has not promised it, then you can't accept it by faith. Now, people sometimes do all sorts of ridiculous things in the name of faith, and it isn't faith at all, because God hasn't said it. People say, oh, by faith I'm going to buy this car that I can't afford. I can't afford it, but I'm going to do it by faith. Faith in what? Well, by faith I'll trust that God will give me enough money to make my payments. Well, there's just one problem with that. God has not promised to give us enough money to pay for that car. So God expects us to use our brain. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is believing what the Bible says and living it. 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Talking about Israel. That's what this is talking about. Israel had the Bible. Well, they heard. They had the Bible all throughout the Old Testament. When Jesus started ministering, he taught the word of God exclusively to the Israelites. They had the word of God. And many of them knew the word of God, but deep down, they didn't believe it, and they didn't do it, and so it didn't do them any good. They believed what they wanted to believe, and they rejected what they didn't want to believe, even though it was there in black and white. And they paid, and continue to pay, for their willful rejection of truth. 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them who are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. And see, this is what happened. Israel understood the Bible, but they rejected it. The Son of God was born. He grew up and taught them the word of God in person, and they rejected him as well. And then you have the Gentiles, who didn't know anything about the Bible. When the apostles started giving them truth, many of them latched onto it, and they came to Christ. God saved many Gentiles, and in the process made some of the Jews jealous. Why? Because after years of being God's people, they were finished. They were finished because they rejected the Son of God and the Word of God, and God doesn't have to put up with that garbage, and he doesn't. They were replaced by those who received Christ. You know, God does not have two sets of people today. There are some apostate preachers who say that God has two sets of people today. He has the Israelites and he has Christians, and they both have their own way of getting into heaven. God doesn't have two sets of people today. Anyone who tells you that Jews and Christians are both his people is telling you a lie. He has had one people since the crucifixion of Christ, and it is those who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that's it. 20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them who sought me. Who sought me not, I should say. I was made manifest unto them who asked not after me. God, through the word and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, reaches out to sinners who are hellbound and draws them to Christ. If God didn't draw people to himself, they would never seek after him. That's what this verse is talking about. 21. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. God does not give up easily. Notice, all day long I have stretched out my hand, he said. He doesn't give up easy. He will extend his offer of mercy to a sinner for as long as he possibly can, right up until the moment of their death. No matter how many times a person willfully rejects Jesus Christ and refuses to repent, God's hand is still extended to them in friendship. Jesus wants them. The Father wants them. The Holy Spirit wants them. It's a shame that so many people don't want him. Verse 11. I should say chapter 11. I say then, has God cast away his people? Let's just stop there for a second. God has not cast away his people. He has not rejected his Old Testament people, Israel. Nor has he rejected anyone else. People reject God. He doesn't reject them. They reject God every time they sin. They reject God when they refuse to repent. They reject God when he offers them mercy through Jesus Christ, and they say no. And so it says, I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Again, his people refers to the Israelites. God did not reject them. Most of them rejected him. Most of them rejected him throughout their history, beginning shortly after the Exodus. And they continued to reject him until it culminated and them rejecting his son. They rejected God when they rejected Christ, because Jesus taught that no one who rejects the son has the father either. Verse 2, God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, let's just stop there for a second. God chose the Israelites to be his people, and they rejected him. You go back to the very beginning, and you will see that throughout their history, the Israelites had a bad habit of wanting to do things their way instead of God's. And the rejection of Jesus Christ was in keeping with their rebellion against God that went on all the time. The Israelites, along with anyone else who tries to have things their way instead of God's way, will end up defeated, because God does not lose. 2 and 3. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and dug down your altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Back in Old Testament days, the great prophet Elijah felt all alone. He seemed as if he was alone. It seemed like all the other Hebrews in the nation Israel were lukewarm at best in their walk with God, and no one supported him. Didn't seem like there were any other preachers who preached the Word of God. It was a horrible time, and he felt very much alone. 4, and he told God that too. Verse 4, but what was the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. And that probably was a surprise to Elijah when he heard that. There were more people who served God than Elijah thought. He said he had 7,000 faithful people besides Elijah. And of course, that's not very many when compared to the entire population, which consisted of millions. But that's always been the case. God's people who really care enough about Christ to put him first are always a minority in every age, in every place. 5. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. God has a small group of faithful followers who give and pray and serve and care. He has a small group of followers who are holy, who care more about him than they do about themselves. In other words, God has a small group of people who are actually producing the fruits of salvation. As for the rest who claim to be his people, who claim to be Christians, only God knows if they are saved. But many of them show no evidence of that salvation. Verse 5 and 6, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't mix works and grace when deciding which road you're going to take for salvation. Every person comes to a fork in the spiritual road. One road is grace, the other is works or self-effort. You can't go north and south at the same time. And you can't choose the way of grace and the way of self-effort at the same time because they exclude each other. A person either attempts to work for salvation or they accept it from God as a gift through Jesus Christ. But you got to choose which way you're going to go on that because they exclude each other. 6 and 7, again, let's read it. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that for which it seeks, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Those who try to be saved by doing good works, like the Israelites, will fail just as Israel failed. You know, many people like to think that they're good enough to earn salvation by their own effort. Some of them are very impressed with their religious activity. Others are impressed with their good works in general, and so they assume that God is impressed with them as well. Someone says, well, yeah, but, you know, the Bible does talk a lot about good works. Yes, it does. But not as if they are a stairway to heaven. Jesus is the stairway to heaven. Better, he's the escalator to heaven because you ride him. Christians do good works because they're grateful to be on that escalator, not in order to climb their way to heaven.